The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Lifeboat Hour. Today is April 10th, 2011. We're going to have a guest on in a little bit, Carolyn Baker, who will be back for her third appearance on this show. I think we all need to talk to a good shrink tonight. And what a week. The nuclear emergency in Fukushima, Japan, is not improving. It is worsening. And as it worsens, coverage and acknowledgement of the situation in the mainstream media gets smaller and smaller and smaller, but not on the world news desk at CollapseNet. We're still facing in Fukushima two potential catastrophic meltdowns that are still under control. They've lost power again. They've had a follow-on earthquake, but now we hear leaking stories about difficulties at the Onagawa nuclear generating station in Miyagi Prefecture. Other reactors are experiencing trouble as well, and that situation just is not getting any better. I was talking with Gary right before the show tonight, and on Energy News yesterday I clipped this story. The headline is, Energy News is very credible, by the way, radioactive iodine 131 in rainwater sample near San Francisco, 18,100% above federal drinking water standard. There was another story we found yesterday showing that five of six food crops sampled, where I live now in Northern California here, showed very serious, significant amounts of radioactive contamination. Not enough, I don't think, to start slamming the potassium iodide yet. I live here. Again, I have to repeat that what you need to really trigger is sustained exposure. I am taking herbal supplements, and I'm eating a very strong, healthy, organic, raw diet to boost my immune system, but also specific herbal treatments to help prevent the absorption of radiation. We have an article about that on CollapseNet that was done for us by Susie and Melissa, and that's been read a great many times. It's great, a lot of dietary stuff there that you can do to make yourself stronger and less vulnerable to absorption of radiation. So anyway, that situation is out of control. But those of you who are CollapseNet members tonight, you know that yesterday I issued a new emergency action alert. I'm going to talk about that briefly. I was thinking about it through the week, and what triggered the realization for me was a story about the carry trade, which is how currencies are traded against each other by arbitrage. People might borrow the yen at 0% and purchase a currency that might return, you know, a tenth of 1% or whatever, more than that. And that's being ripped apart by events in Japan. Japan's also having a total economic meltdown. But I said, well, you know, the press can fake that. They can use promise software. They can manipulate that, the markets. And I said, well, what's the one thing that can't really be manipulated? And that's quarterly earnings reports. And the earthquake occurred March 10 here, March 11 in Japan, and that left them with a third of a month with their GDP just being gutted and their corporate profits absolutely being turned off. But what's going to be the kicker is every corporation that trades its stock publicly has to submit a quarterly earnings report. And those are sacrosanct. I mean, they'll fudge a little bit, but remember, corporations have to pay taxes and dividends and so on based upon what their earnings are. And those are very, very closely scrutinized by stockholders who live and play in that world. And I can tell you, for all the work I've done for all these years, for having a book in the Harvard Business Library, that you cannot fake the fact that quarterly earnings reports after one full quarter after Fukushima are going to look absolutely atrocious. And what we know is that with the 30 major Japanese companies affected or shut down completely or slowed down, the world is suffering mightily from a shortage of Japanese components that are not made anyplace else and can't be made and can't be shipped. We've seen Toyota shutting down all production in North America. We saw just yesterday Citigroup issued a sell for every auto company in the world in recognition of the fact that they're not going to be able to make cars without Japanese components. But so that means the GDP, the earnings of all the corporations worldwide, from Siemens to General Motors to Ford, you know, to you name it, are also going to tank. Now, when that happens, and the quarterlies aren't filed on a specific date, it depends upon when a company's fiscal year starts. But by July, we will be hearing all of this, and the markets will not be able to take that. That can't be hidden. And then all this monstrous derivatives, nightmare, bubble, borrowing, credit, mass of ugliness is really, that's when it comes down. I mean, I'm more sure of this than I've been sure of about anything I've predicted, and it really is very straightforward. You can't hide it when the quarterly earnings reports of every major corporation in the world just tank. So anyway, that's the essence of what the alert was that we put out, and I'm telling all the CollapseNet members that plan that you have until July to get your stuff together, and I mean be able to take care of yourself. Maybe not in perpetuity, but you need to have the water, the food. You need to now probably worry about potassium iodide still. And seasonally, this is planting season in most parts of the world. You can't expect to eat in September, August, November if you're not planting in April and May. So anyway, all things to think about. It's been a horrendous week. We've been changing servers at CollapseNet. We went down twice this week, technical stuff. I think we have it all worked out. But we've had a lot of things put us sideways. We had one of our key staff had a sudden death in the family. Another one had a computer crash. I was moving, and there was all this stress. And then I had this thought, well, gee, now imagine all this organizational chaos and trying to put out four out-of-control nuclear reactors and also discovering that you don't have the resources you thought you had. I suddenly had a lot of feeling for the Japanese. But this is a stressful week. There's one other story that I wanted to mention tonight before we go say hi to Carolyn, which I just pulled a few minutes ago. This was thanks to a Facebook friend. It's nice to have 7,000 Facebook friends. They send you good stuff on them. Breaking news, Israeli embassy in Cairo under siege. Let me read that again. Breaking news, Israeli embassy in Cairo under siege. Now, this is from veteranstoday.com. Now, Veterans Today is a solid journalistic. They've been around for ages. They have good standards. And now, why isn't this even on Al Jazeera? And that's curiously, what one of the editors at Veterans Today said. He writes, the Western press and even Al Jazeera have failed to report today's demonstrations in Tahrir Square, Cairo, accurately. Thousands of Egyptians marched from the square to the Israeli embassy, demanding that the current military government end diplomatic relations with Israel in wake of the assault on Gaza by the Israeli Defense Forces. Clearly, there's a lot of anti-Israeli sentiment flaring in the Middle East, and I don't think anybody wants that out, but it's kind of inevitable. And I have to tell you that one of the things as you read this story is that the protesters were demanding an end to the Camp David Accords signed by Jimmy Carter, Menachem Begin, and Anwar Sadat way back in, I think, 1979 it was. Jimmy Carter got the Nobel Peace Prize for that. But if the Camp David Accords disappear, the Israeli nukes will be out in a heartbeat. So needless to say, everything is still absolutely ablaze throughout the Middle East, North Africa. Those revolts are looking bad. Saudi Arabia is showing additional signs of stress and strain. Oil prices are over $120 a barrel. Food prices are going through the roof. And this is like a really good week to go say, you know, I'm just kind of blown away, and so maybe I'll just do a phone session with a friend. Her name is Carolyn Baker. She was a psychotherapist in private practice for 17 years and a professor of psychology and history for 10. She's the author of several books, including Navigating the Coming Chaos, A Handbook for Inner Transition, 2011, and Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse, 2009. Love that book. She manages her website, Speaking Truth to Power, at www.carolynbaker.net, and works closely with Transition Colorado, Boulder County, as managing editor of Transition Time. She's a busy girl. Carolyn publishes the Daily News Digest, which is a collection of independent news stories focusing on unprecedented transitions and options for navigating an uncertain future. No shit. Excuse me, I said that word on the radio again. Which is mailed at subscribers 7 days weekly. She tells stories with an African drum and leads Sacred Demise workshops levels 1 and 2. She has also become a transition coaching and spiritual direction practice locally in Boulder. You can reach out to Carolyn at carolynbaker@carolynbaker.net. Carolyn, what are you doing in your spare time?
Well, I listen to your economic alerts.
Huh.
And a few thousand other things. You've really hit the nail on the head here. You know, I'm sort of working sarcastically on a story that I'm giving a kind of sarcastic title called Thank God It Wasn't a Nuclear Bomb. And the thing that inspired me about this is that, you know, you and I grew up in a time when, you know, nuclear war between the United States and the Soviet Union was a distinct possibility, and we were freaked out about it all the time. And in our grade schools, you know, we used to do the duck and cover exercises.
Yes, and, I remember that.
You know, and some of our parents were building fallout shelters, and, you know, and we got through the Cuban Missile Crisis, and we said, you know, thank goodness it wasn't a nuclear bomb. It didn't go off this time. And then we found out, you know, maybe in the 80s, I guess it was, we found out that Richard Nixon wanted to use nuclear bombs in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War.
Yep.
And we sort of wiped our brow again and said, thank God it wasn't a nuclear bomb.
Yep.
And to get through Chernobyl and some other things like that. And there's probably many times in our recent history when we've had huge close calls with that sort of thing. But now a nuclear bomb has gone off, or might as well have. And it didn't fall from the sky, and it wasn't because nations were at war. But the effects are very, very similar, perhaps even worse than the first atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima on August 6, 1945. So, you know, I was in your neighborhood recently in Northern California, and people were really, really concerned, with obviously very good reason, because there's no truth in information. We don't know for sure what these numbers are. And you've given this wonderful resource here of 18,000% over, you know, and we hear all these conflicting reports, and as I watch mainstream news on TV, what I'm hearing about is the freaking Royal Wedding. You know,
yeah.
That's what I'm hearing
yeah.
about.
There's one thing that we can absolutely be certain of at this point, Carolyn. When we hear Barack Obama saying he's going to reduce foreign fuel by 30%, I say stupid numbers. When we see the absolute, this was the most obvious red herring, this whole budget dispute this week. I knew it was going to be resolved. That's why I didn't waste a minute of time on it, on CollapseNet.
Right.
It was all
right.
distraction. And yet,
right.
when you have radiation levels 18,000% above acceptable drinking water standards in San Francisco, it is very clear that the government has become an open enemy of the people. I know no other way to say it. It's not our friend. It's not telling the truth. And I'm afraid that situation is going to get a lot worse. Sorry, I was ranting there.
No, that's okay. But, you know, I'm getting a lot of calls these days. I'm doing collapse coaching one-on-one. I'm getting calls from people who are talking to me about the incredible anxiety they feel, the depression they feel. I'm hearing from young people who are saying, boy, you know, I just graduated from college, I've got humongous amounts of debt, do not want to go into the career for which I was trained, I want to do something else, and I want you to help me with that. And I get a lot of calls from family members who have spouses or children or parents or siblings who just won't buy into collapse. And these people that call me are preparing very hard. They don't know how to talk to their family about it, or maybe they've tried and they can't get through. So, you know, I just want to say that it's really important to have people to talk to about this.
Yes.
Very important to have support groups or to be in a transition initiative where you can talk openly about these things, because, boy, I'll tell you, the main response to all of this is grief and really, really feeling our feelings about what's going on.
I'm thinking, if you want to ask Carolyn a question, I don't know if we can take calls yet. I've just put a message into the board asking if the phone lines have been fixed. We'll find out about that. But you can email me or Carolyn a question directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com, lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. And I'm going to read a little letter here. This is our commercial for the night. Good. We can take calls. So if you got a question for Carolyn, call 1-888-874-4888, 1-888-874-4888. I just want to read this message I got from a CollapseNet member today, which says a lot. Thanks for this emergency action alert. While folks around here in eastern Pennsylvania can't see this, I've been watching closely. This is from a guy named Jonathan L. We're doing everything we can while still working in the existing economic paradigm to prepare. My seed starts are in the windows germinating. A fence goes up around the vegetable patch Monday, courtesy of my partner and his dad. And other practical things are getting done. I'm ever so grateful for your work, even though I get razzed all the time for being such a grim reaper. I'm able to endure because I feel the prep is essential. For that reason, I can shrug off the criticism and negative comments. Please keep up your amazing work, and if you can find a post for me on CollapseNet, I'd be glad to join the team. Cheers, Jonathan L., licensed professional counselor, MA, and Eastern Pennsylvania blog correspondent. Thank you so much, sir, for that. I just needed to share that, and I think that was right on topic. So, let's see. Carolyn, I got a question. Let's play a new White Trash song. You ready for that?
Sure.
Okay. Tonight's song is Say a Prayer for the New White Trash. I just read the title of that song, and I said, yeah, that's probably the one we all need tonight. So let's hear that, then we'll be back with Carolyn Baker.
Say a prayer. Back if you brought
a little diversion there from the New White Trash. That was Say a Prayer For. That's my band, New White Trash. You can find out more, listen to all 37 original songs for free at www.newwhitetrash.com. Okay, we're back with Carolyn Baker. Again, the number to call in tonight is 1-888-874-4888. We have a question, Carolyn, from Jonathan Key. He writes, "Greetings and thank you for taking my email. My name is Jonathan from East Texas, and I'm a new CollapseNet member. I was browsing the news today from the past week in photos and came across a picture from this week. It has me puzzled and gravely concerned. This picture is an aerial shot of the Onagawa Nuclear Power Station in Miyagi Prefecture." Now, that's the one we talked about. "The picture clearly shows oil leaking into the body of water it sits on after the 7.4 earthquake in the past week. I didn't even hear of this in the news this week because the mainstream media is ignoring the disaster in Japan and its effects on the world. Another damaged reactor in Japan? Michael, what the hell, capital letters, is going on over there? Question mark, question mark, question mark." Carolyn, that sounds like a question that I'll pose to you as a psychotherapist, too. What do you do? How would you treat people who are having a sudden realization that everything the government is feeding them is dishonest, and they really don't know what to trust?
Well, you know, back in the day when I worked with you at From the Wilderness, I wrote an article that said you have government. And it's kind of like finding out that, you know, you have no parents, or your parents lied to you about who they are, or something like that. It's huge. And, you know, because we do tend to project parental duties and responsibilities on our government. That's why I think so many people expect that the government is going to save them in this infantilized culture that we have become. So it's a major blow when people find this out. But it also, I think, an opportunity to grow up and to realize that we're on our own. It's a point of being independent rather than dependent on that external force to save us. And it's an opportunity then for us to become interdependent with our other allies in this situation, other people who are preparing. That's what we need to do. That's the adult role that we need to assume now.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you that a couple of times this week I was crying. And yes. And I was having severe upset stomachs, and I employed my spiritual practices and the things I know to do to take care of myself in those situations. But this is hard, and this is hard right now. And I just want everybody else to hear that if I do that, it's okay for you too, and it's probably a real good idea, Carolyn.
It's not only a good idea, I think it's absolutely necessary. You know, I truly believe that every single person born into industrial civilization is traumatized. And a lot of people would say, "Oh, I'm not traumatized, I'm fine." Well, you know, you and I have been in 12-step programs, we know what F-I-N-E means.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that we really have been traumatized by this industrial civilization.
And fine, by the way, means up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Other than that, I'm fine. Yes.
Thank you. So we really need to address that trauma. You know, there's a certain level of PTSD that we all have from living in this civilization of, you know, unlimited growth and individualism and, you know, I'm on my own, dog eat dog, and all of those things that we learn either blatantly or subtly. And so we need to deal with that trauma. And
yes,
in
do.
My book, Navigating the Coming Chaos, I have really carefully written this book, taking Sacred Demise another 100 steps further to really
why don't we
help
hold that,
people.
Why don't we hold that there, because I have to go to a station break. It's right at
okay.
the bottom of the hour. We'll pick up right there when we come back with Carolyn Baker. The number to call is 1-888-874-4888, or email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. We're going to take you out and come back in from the break with one of the great love songs that we have on the New White Trash double CD, double wide, and it's called One Good Reason.
Progressive Radio Network.
Have you heard? The Burt Cohen Show brings you the hidden truths behind the stories that affect us all and gives you the information you need to build freedom, community, and a much better world. This is Burt Cohen. My past shows include The New Media Power of Comcast, Socialism for Wall Street Only, and How to Empower Your Own Community Over Corporate Interests. For archives, go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and listen to The Burt Cohen Show every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. The Burt Cohen Show. There's really nothing like it.
With Sierra Club Radio. Tune in Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern on the ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com to hear interviews with green authors, activists, politicians, celebrities, and more.
Hello, this is Sandra B. Tay from Success Power Talk. You can listen live to me every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the very best success strategies for your life, bringing you sumptuous, exciting topics, expert guests, and panelists from all over. You will not want to miss. Email me at coach@tateworks.com if you have questions you want read on the air. If you missed any past shows, go to progressiveradionetwork.com/archives to find them. Always take the best and leave the rest. Success Power Talks every Saturday, 4 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Lifeboat Hour on Sunday, April 10th, 2011, exactly 1 month after the earthquake in Fukushima, Japan, which has brought us to the edge of a great many cliffs all at once. Carolyn, right before we went to break, you were talking about some stuff that you had put in Sacred Demise, was it? That was relevant.
No, in Navigating the Coming Chaos, which is my brand new 2011 book, taking Sacred Demise to the next level, and I very carefully put exercises in there that people can use on their own or in a group to really help them deal with these feelings. And you know, this is an ideal book for a study group or a transition heart and soul group. You can do these exercises and then put the book aside, and 5 years later you can come back and do the exercises, and it's like you never did them before. It's an ongoing tool that you can use. Mm-hmm. I've also created something called Relationships in the Long Emergency. That's a new workshop that I have that I'm willing to take on the road to anybody's community who would like me to go there for families, for couples, to talk about this. Because one of the questions that I've gotten tonight and that I keep getting is, how do you present this collapse information to your family? Mm-hmm. And I assess two different ways of doing that. There's the left brain way, which, of course, is, you know, saying, here's some books to read, here's some documentaries to watch, and then let's talk about them. And then there's the other way, which sometimes people don't get the left brain way, or they don't want to get the left brain way. And sometimes, you know, you just have to go to that other person and say, with all your feelings hanging out there, and say, this is really important to me. My heart is breaking because we can't really talk about this, and I really want you to see how much this means to me. I care about you. I'm concerned about you. Now, you can do all of these things, and, you know, you can't make another person, but sometimes, you know, making this effort and doing it in a tactful way can pull some doors so that there can be some communication about this issue. Because I'm telling you, people who can't talk about this with their families are really hurting and feeling a lot of responsibility for protecting them, but they can't really talk about it.
We've got a bunch of questions piling up, Carolyn. Are you
great.
Ready? All right,
I'm
here
ready.
We go. This is from Jan. Hi, Mike. Love your show. I have a severely autistic son, which prevents me from listening to your show. Sorry about that very much. At the scheduled time on Sundays, hence I can only listen through archive podcast. Thanks. Regarding preparations for economic collapse, I was wondering if you could possibly mention a few suggestions regarding preparations for disabled family members who cannot do preparations for themselves, i.e. purchasing reusable cloth diapers in lieu of disposables, medications, et cetera, et cetera. Having extensive survival treatment, I've been preparing my family and my son for quite some time. Good for you. But for most caregivers, this is extremely difficult. That's a long question. Let's just stick with the caregivers, Carolyn. What extra burdens are they going to be facing now?
Well, to be absolutely overloaded. I mean, I think of people who have, I tell people who are nurses or nurses assistants or, you know, anything like that, any person, social workers, any person who are in any kind of caregiving professions, that they are going to be overloaded once their neighborhood or people around them find out that they do this work. Is going to be a huge burden on caregivers, and they're not going to get paid anything for it, and it's going to be very stressful.
Yeah.
I certainly think that in a situation like this with dealing with a disabled person, you need a lot of support. You need to get a lot of people around you, perhaps other people who are in a similar situation, to help you prepare these things, buy the supplies, you know, really help each other and come to bat, to take turns and so forth in this situation.
Okay, good. More questions. This is just a financial one I'm going to deal with quickly. This is a guy who has a question about the issues of credit card debt versus so on and so forth. And my right now, until we know what the heck's going to happen in Japan, don't make any major decisions right now. I mean, if you're, you know, unless it's to get cash and start getting prepared right now, that's the only thing you have to worry about. Japan has trumped everything. Table. All other, do whatever you need to do to get as ready as you can possibly be in the shortest amount of time. I think Carolyn would agree with me on that.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Carolyn, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Go for it.
Okay. We have a caller. James from New York City is on the phone. The question is, well, James, are you there?
I am, Michael. Thank you for taking the call. The question is, I've listened to the show, and I understand about saving food, but when you said save water, I'm just wondering, if you go to the faucet, isn't water going to come out, or is it going to be something even more catastrophic than that?
We seeing a ton of infrastructure failures, and as collapse increases, we are only going to see more. You're looking at major states ready to file bankruptcy. I've been predicting that on GlassNet since November very accurately. We all seem to have forgotten about what happened in Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, states just whacking, so things are deteriorating very rapidly, and certainly by July. What you need to worry about: infrastructure failure, number one. And that doesn't mean somebody's going to flip a switch, although oil prices are getting to that point. But and now we have the other issue of radioactivity possibly showing up in drinking water sources. And if you have water now that you know was bottled before any exposure, that could be valuable too. My recommendation is 3 months worth of food per person, and if you can, 3 weeks worth of water. You just can't store more than that, and that's a ton of water anyway. It's never a bad thing to have fresh water around.
And do you know of any water filter systems? I have like Gary Knoll's water filter. Anything that would take out radiation?
No. Nothing. Radioactive contaminant particles. That's not radiation. Those are really tiny particles. Maybe some, but these are very, very small. So I can't say, I'll say I don't know of any. That doesn't mean they aren't out there. That's an excellent question. Maybe we'll get someone to tell us about that.
All right, thanks. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
All right, man. Thank you. Okay, questions are piling up, Carol and Michael. There's a debate among my circle of friends regarding whether or not we should install a backup generator. Oh, Jesus. Okay, well, you're asking the questions. I want to get ones that work with Carolyn tonight, but thanks. Do you think it worthwhile waste of time to attempt to harden our homes against the possibility? No, absolutely not. For the reasons I was just discussing, doing anything you can do to protect your home from utility outages is critical. We're stocking up on oil lamps. I just moved onto this 2 acres. Okay, Mike and Carolyn. Here's one for Carolyn. Mike, please go into more, and Carolyn, please go into more details about your latest emergency alert. We did that top the show. Would lowered quarterly profits in June, July necessarily lead to social unrest? Yes, social unrest is happening. That's what we show you on the World News Desk every day that the mainstream isn't telling you about. Social unrest is happening all over the world, all over Africa, South Africa, we 8 or 10 countries there. It's happening in Asia. So yes, and what's coming in the wake of Japan and the economic fallout? Absolutely, there's going to be, I think, panic, social panic. Carolyn, here's the question for you, Carolyn. What are your thoughts about the social landscape changing so drastically, so quickly? Thanks so much for the essential work you both do. Carolyn, take it away.
Well, the social landscape is going to change enormously. We're going to see, I believe, massive homelessness. We're going to see the collapse of public education. You know, the corporations are trying to take this over completely, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do that in time before the whole thing collapses. Let's not even start with healthcare. We know where that's going. And so I see a situation in which all of these services, social infrastructure is really going to be in shambles. And, a lot of sick people running around who can't get treatment, a lot of homeless people running around who have no place to be. We're going to be confronted with strangers a lot. We're going to have to deal with people that, you know, maybe edgy type people that we would never have to deal with in so-called normal times. There's going to be, I think, a huge underground economy, and when the money system completely fails, we're going to be bartering things, trading services. So we're going to have tremendous emotional resilience as well as resilience in all of these other areas.
Yes. And there's another question following right on. This is the perfect bookend for that. This is from a guy named Tom Waits, but it's not the Tom Waits. It's a very cool Tom Waits, though. He writes, now that I'm tuned in on a daily basis to what's happening, I find it amazing the amount of people who are oblivious. The thing that keeps me up at night is when the majority of people can no longer live in denial. What do you expect will happen when there is a mass awakening? I don't think it's going to be a mass awakening. I just think it's going to be a mass conniption fit. Carolyn?
Yeah, I agree with you, Michael. I don't think there's going to be a mass awakening. I think it's going to be these people who have been in denial for so long suddenly waking up and going, what the hell, and knowing where to turn. I think thousands, millions of people are going to be really hysterical. And it's going to be a very emotionally volatile situation. So we have to learn how to take care of ourselves emotionally and physically in that kind of volatility.
Mm-hmm. This is a good thread. It looks like we've really hit on something here, and I think this is good because at least we're aware that this is coming. This is a question from, I got to expand the window. This is a question from Christopher Dalton. Hi, Mike and Carolyn. What point do you think panic sets into the human mind? Also, with such turmoil in our country, why hasn't there been more assassinations protests? It seems like baby boomers took much more action than my generation. Okay, Carolyn, you want to take that?
What's the first part of that question again?
At what point do you think panic sets into the human mind?
Oh,
and that's a good question because we all know what it's like to be scared. Carolyn, you can talk about that from a therapist standpoint. I'll follow you, talk about it from a cop standpoint.
Okay, sure. Yeah, well, I think panic is when we don't have our basic needs met, you know, Maslow's hierarchy, and you get down to the basic needs of food and water and shelter. And when we begin to see those go, and, you know, cop or therapist, it's the same, you know, when you go into the food store and there's nothing there, and food is probably going to be gone from food stores within the first few hours. Maybe when you're trying to get out of a particular situation and it's very difficult to do so or impossible. Certainly panic sets in when you think about the welfare of your children and your pets. And, you know, what are you going to need to take with you, or how are you going to protect yourself when there's chaos and you're not prepared? It certainly is going to be exacerbated. So, and I want to emphasize too that you can't be prepared for everything, because did we think this was going to happen in Japan? And did we think that even if there was an earthquake, there was going to be a reactor exploding? So many, many things will be unpredictable. And I just wrote a column for CollapseNet that the only thing that's certain right now is uncertainty. So we're going to have to learn emotionally how to deal with uncertainty.
As having been in combat situations, having been a cop, having been shot at, having been in shootings, having spent a great deal of time with warriors who were either special forces or Navy SEALs or people who have been there, fear is a wonderful asset when you're in a crisis situation. Fear heightens your senses. Fear makes you pay attention, especially if you understand and accept the fact that I am afraid, and use that with the understanding that you are afraid for a reason, and use it as a motivator rather than the driver of the vehicle. And you know, panic is a point at really which rational thought ceases, and one becomes hysterical, or insanely violent. That's where I think almost everybody is going to go, especially in the major cities,
right,
as this really starts to hit home to them. I mean, by July, I'm expecting a 4,000-6,000 point drop in the Dow. Much worse than 2008, and historically that matches the same cycle between 1929 and 1932 almost to a T, when the Great Depression really hit its lows. But there's no bounce back from this. So panic is as having faced people who were panicked. Your first obligation is to protect yourself as a law enforcement officer or somebody in combat. You know, when somebody's panicked, they are dangerous. And that doesn't mean you run. They might be panicked, hysterical, but you always have to make sure that you hold the space for the person who is panicked to invite them back into that space of sanity and calm again, and try and help them back there.
I want to also add, well, I also want to add, Mike, that, you know, it isn't always a given that there's going to be pandemonium. You know, some studies have been done that indicate that that more often than not, people pull together and help each other. Of course, there are always situations where they don't, and people loot and shoot and kill and so forth, but let's hold the other side alongside, you know, the reality of panic is that a lot of times communities will pull together and do what they need to do.
Yes, and that was the key word, community. If you have that sense of community, if you have a family that is awake and aware, that if you have taken the time to build your most important survival tool, your tribe, then you will have that there, and you can, you know, you can escape from that. I really think it's the ones who find themselves isolated and really no place to go who are going to be the most dangerous.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question from Justin Sroof. Hi, Michael. Thank you for all the great info you provide to CollapseNet. I'm wanting to take my money and investments out of J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Would any investment in silver help, or is it wise just to invest in food, water, and provisions? Both, absolutely. And don't even start me on J.P. Morgan Chase. Carolyn, you got anything you want to add on that one? The next question is about psychiatric meds. That's good.
What was the question about psych meds?
I just opened it. It's from Chiram. Dear Mike and Carolyn, what do you do if you have a family member on psych meds? Great question. It's very hard to stockpile these because they're controlled substances. Any advice on developing stockpiles and dealing with the inevitable transition off necessary meds? Carolyn Baker.
Well, I do not have a magic bullet answer to that. This is a huge concern with people of all ages who are dependent on medications. There can be some stockpiling if you can work with a doctor who's friendly to that idea. There are some possible herbal alternatives that you could use and stockpile those. But if at all possible, try to find some ways to live without these medications because they will not be available as the society collapses and falls apart.
Absolutely. And I would underscore, at the CollapseNet, we have devoted a considerable amount of time, thanks to Carolyn's and my mutual great friend Susie Gruber, M.A., and she's also a somatic experiencing practitioner, creating a database and a series of articles leading you to resources that can help supplant, replace, mitigate whatever the loss of those meds. There's been a lot of work, and this is clearly an area that there's a lot of frantic work now starting to be done throughout the movement, and loosely defined as transition healthcare. And it's starting to really ask fundamental questions like these. Some people are doing it. I think you'll find a lot on CollapseNet. Those were all free articles on CollapseNet, so go there and help yourself. And of course, it depends on what the psych meds are, too. Some controlled substances are psychotropic. They'll get you high and are sought after for that reason. In that case, somebody's going to have cold turkeys. There are other psych meds that are not really psychotropic, and they can, especially with sudden withdrawal, produce some real serious side effects. That's a good question to ask your doctor.
Yes, I agree.
All right, let's go back. We got some more questions. So just keep coming in. Hello, Mike and Carol. This is from Ben Williams. Thank you for taking my email. I'm a grad student finishing my studies this summer in D.C. That's where I was born. Since learning of collapse a year and a half ago, I've been having trouble dealing with the cognitive dissonance I feel. Intellectually, I know collapse will happen, but I keep going through the motions because I'm too much in debt and too close to the end of my studies to quit now, but I feel dishonest and cowardly for not listening to my better judgment and prepping more. Nobody around me shares your level of alarm, so I feel like a loon when speaking to others about it. I'm trapped in debt and totally isolated, even with the excellent CollapseNet community. Thank you for all your hard work, Ben. Well, Ben, you're an honest SOB, and anybody that can ask a question that's intellectually and emotionally self-honest, I think you're going to be fine. Carolyn What would you tell him?
Yeah, I just want to say to Ben, I was a college professor for 10 years and felt like totally schizophrenic every day when I went into the classroom to teach these things in history and psychology classes. I would get yourself connected with a transition network somewhere so that you have some people to talk about this with. I would encourage you, if you're that close, finish your studies. You never know how they might be helpful to you in the future. But get yourself some support and then get some help with the indebtedness. There are resources out there, to help you so that you don't have to, be totally awake at night worrying about the debts that you're incurring. And you're incurring debts as a student. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're down to the last few minutes of the show. I'm not going to get to all the questions, going to run fast. This is from my good friend Lois Carroll up in Northern California, not too far from me. Hi, Lois. Just getting quickly to your question. She thinks her biggest fear greater than the loss of electricity and gas is social unrest. Yes, many of us have a moral dilemma concerning when we would make the decision to take another person's life in order to save our own. I guess this is a question that I'd like to ask both you, Mike, as an ex-cop, and also of Carolyn. My greatest fear is dealing with this issue. I've processed most of the rest. Carolyn, if you don't mind, I'll take that first because I've been in shock.
Well, I have something to say about it also.
you are going to get the last word on this, absolutely.
Okay.
Ultimately, you never know until you're in the situation where training and advanced training makes all the difference in the world. You have trained yourself to be in a situation where you think about background, what the backdrop is for your shooting. All this happens subconsciously. Is it a last resort? Is your life in danger? And if you have trained and practiced enough, what you will find is that, especially if you cannot rehearse every situation in which you might have to take a life, but I think almost all of us are willing to protect our families and the things that we love. All you can do is be as prepared as you can be, and then don't worry about the outcome when it happens. That's why training with the firearm and tactical training is so important, because that takes the guesswork out, because the last instant that you want to have that hesitation is at the moment when your life is truly on the line. Carolyn, go ahead.
Yes, I want to encourage women to take a concealed carry class, and you don't have to have a firearm for it. In most cases, you can borrow a firearm for the class. These classes are incredibly empowering for women, and you have this training. Once you have this training, and especially if you go on and practice on a regular basis, you have this training, and most of the instructors will tell you, you don't have to rise to the occasion. You fall back on your training, and it's there with you. It's kind of like a third arm or something that you have, part of your body. And I strongly encourage women to take that training.
Yes, absolutely. If you need a definitive answer to that question before you do anything else, you're going to have to be content with the uncertainty until the moment arrives when you find out. That's the simplest answer I can give you. We got about 5 minutes left. Carolyn, tell people how they can find out more about you, reach you, contact you, et cetera, et cetera.
Please go to my website at carolynbaker.net. You can email me at carolyn@carolynbaker.net. And there you can read at my site all about the workshops that I offer, books that I've written. I may be back in Northern California in the fall, and definitely in Vermont in the fall. Want me to come to your community and do a Relationships in the Long Emergency Workshop, give me a jingle on the internet.
Excellent. We got a couple minutes left. I'm going to try to squeeze in another question. This is Jeroen Klomp from Amsterdam in the Netherlands. I've been there. I love it. There are tons of things I'd like to say. Going to keep it short. Thanks. What are, according to you and your listeners, great alternative European news sources? So some I found to be quite political. I should check out where to keep an eye on. What you need, my friend, is to be on the world news desk at CollapseNet. You get the most reliable compilation of stories from all over the world every day. We comment on them, we analyze them, and that's how you do it. You don't just read one news source. You got to go look at a lot of them. Carolyn Baker, thank you for being a guest on our show for the third time. These are really, really, really scary times. I think they're going to get scarier. And thank you for being out there, and thank you for speaking your truth to people who get it and to people who don't. Let us not waste the time signing a petition to get President Barack Obama to acknowledge peak oil or debate the word spirituality. Let's just get ready to survive. Carolyn, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike, for having me on. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Good night. All right, everybody. We'll be back next week. I think I've just had a spark of an idea for another guest next week. We will see you on the World News Desk at CollapseNet. That's where you need to be to really understand what's happening, especially when you have the mainstream absolutely lying, covering up, concealing all the stuff that's happening, especially the damage from Fukushima, the radiation that's hitting our shores. We do our best, and I think we do the best of anybody in the world. That's why we're growing so rapidly on the World News Desk at CollapseNet, to give you an honest picture every morning. That's a place where you can plant both your feet. And I'll be back here next week on the Lifeboat Hour. Thank you so much. You guys have been great. Good night.